The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, friends, and welcome to our program, Afternoons with Mike. Today I have on the line a dear friend that I've known, my goodness, getting close to 30 years now. I met Mark Altrogi at a conference back in 1988, so it's over 30 years. That's really crazy when we put it that way, Mark. Mark Altrogi, you are a retired pastor now, but still a songwriter and one of the most prolific songwriters that I've ever known. Welcome to my program, Mark Altrogi.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's so great to have you, and it's so great to hear your voice. You know, we served in the same group, the same family of churches for a number of years, and it was an annual treat, if not at least one time a year, that we'd be able to get together. And Mark, you were always so much fun to be around. Number one, you're a musician. I think there's this brotherhood that musicians have one toward another. So you and I have been able to play in the worship band together on a number of occasions. That was a lot of fun. But more importantly, and I think most people would, when they hear your name, if they don't know how to pronounce their name up front, they do know the songs that you've written. I'll guarantee that. And so your songwriting has touched so many people. We're going to get more into that. Actually play a couple of two of the biggest songs that would be most well known. And you were writing those songs in a time frame in which Hosanna, the great company that really, boy, they just broke ground with how they used worship songs and how they distributed worship songs and made worship, modern day worship songs, what they are today. I believe they really helped do that in terms of distribution.
Oh, yeah.
You were all over those Hosanna albums back during all of those years. And so, but before we get to all of that, Mark, tell us how you came to know the Lord.
Well, I was raised Roman Catholic, and my parents were both very sincere practicing Catholics. And so they did teach us children about the Lord and went to a Catholic school. So I knew some things. I didn't really know the gospel, but I did know that Jesus was God and that he had been born a human being. And I knew he died on the cross. I didn't really know what that significance of that was. But so I had some background like that. As I got older in high school and college, I really began to do things that were not good. In college, I got into drugs. I was also regularly getting drunk. At some point, for some reason, I managed to stop my drug use, but I was still getting drunk on a regular basis. I moved to Philadelphia when I was about 22, 23, just after college. I was an art major in college, and I was working in Philadelphia in an art gallery. I was hoping I'd be able to make it as an artist. And I was living in a basement, a cockroach-infested apartment building. I was pretty miserable.
You were truly a starving artist back in that day.
Yeah, I wasn't actually starving. I wasn't making it in the art world. And it's interesting. I was dating this young lady who was an airline stewardess, and before I moved to Philadelphia, somebody suggested to me. They said, "Get a Bible and just read a little bit every day." and do what it says. For some reason, I bought this paperback Bible called Good News for Modern Man and took it to Philadelphia with me. And for some reason, I started to read it every day, the Gospels, Matthew and Mark, Luke, and John. I just started reading them every day. And I was dating this young lady who was an airline stewardess. And she, one weekend, came after visiting me. She flew back to Pittsburgh, where she lived, and called me up in the evening and said, "Hey, I was on the plane, and there was a guy sitting on the plane, and he was wearing this T-shirt with a picture of Jesus on it. And I went up to him, and I said, don't you think you're being kind of disrespectful to wear a T-shirt with a picture of Jesus? Can you imagine a stewardess saying that to somebody now?" And she said, he started to tell me all about Jesus. And I said, well, that's good. You know, I know all that stuff. I've gone to church all my life. And so after about 6 months, I moved back home to Indiana, Pennsylvania, moved into my parents' house, a failure. I didn't make it in Philly, ran out of money. I was depressed. I was miserable. Here I am, stuck at home again with my parents. And one weekend, this girl again was visiting me, and she opened up the newspaper, and she said, "Hey, here is this guy who I saw on the plane. He's speaking right near here." And it was a guy named Larry Tomczak.
Oh, my goodness.
And she said, "Oh, let's go see him. Let's go see him." He was speaking in this tiny little country church, maybe 20 minutes from Indiana. And so this young lady and my parents and I went to this meeting to see this young speaker. And he was really dynamic in a way I'd never seen anybody in the Catholic Church speak. I'd never been to a meeting like this. And he talked about Jesus in a way that was like he knew him personally. And after the meeting, this young lady said to me, "Hey, let's go up and meet this guy." So she dragged me up along with my parents. And Larry said to me, as soon as he met me, "Mark, have you ever asked Jesus into your heart?" I said, "Well, I go to church every Sunday." No, have you ever personally asked him into your heart?" And so he led me in this prayer to just ask Jesus into my heart. And I did want God to help me. I can remember at one time in Philadelphia when I was really miserable, I just said, "God, would you please help me?" And I remember the first thought that came to my mind was, "I'll have to be a missionary to Alaska."
Oh, yours was Alaska. Mine was Africa's.
Well, I don't like cold. I thought, well, I guess if God wants me to do this, somehow he'd help me. But so anyway, I say this prayer that Larry leads me in, and I didn't really understand too much about what I had done, but I can remember just thinking that night as I was by myself and I walked outside and I looked up at the stars, and I remember thinking, wow, I think I did something tonight. And that was kind of the start of things. And then I wound up, my parents wound up going to some local prayer meetings in the basement of the Catholic school nearby. And I started going to these prayer meetings. I can remember I was at one of these prayer meetings. My parents invited me, and there was a person next to me, and he was praying to Jesus like he really knew him, like he was a personal friend. And I remember the hair on the back of my neck stood up, like, wow, you mean you can talk to God like you know him like that? So that was kind of the beginning. So eventually I started going to a Bible study that the Full Gospel Businessmen had in a local church, and a pastor named Joseph Garlington speaking. He's a pretty well-known pastor, you know, he just taught the Bible in a in a very powerful personal way. And so I, you know, gradually the Lord just really began to change me. And that was how kind of all got started.
Oh, my goodness. That day was an exciting time. And the thing of Larry Tomczak, he wrote the book back in that time, Clap Your Hands, and that thing was read by people all over the country. He himself was a, you know, when you think of, you hear this expression about a raging, crazy evangelist for Jesus, somebody that loved the Lord radically. I think Larry's picture would come to mind for many people on that, wouldn't it? It's just amazing how many people Larry has personally either shared like he did with you, or through his conference speaking, through his books. Larry Tomczak has been one of those big forces for the Lord for a number of years, and he's doing it still to this day.
Yeah, yeah.
But I tell you, now where did music come in all of this, Mark?
Well, music came into my life. I liked it when I was like a teenager, and especially when the Beatles came onto the scene. And I still remember the night in 1964, I believe, when the Beatles made their debut on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed the audience full of screaming girls. And I just remember thinking, I want to be like those guys.
There you go.
I never actually had girls chasing me screaming, but I did really start to love music at that young age. And my parents were so kind to me. They let me take guitar lessons. I started taking guitar lessons around age 15, 16. And they bought me a guitar and an electric guitar, and I was taking guitar lessons. Here I was in Indiana at the time, and I was taking guitar lessons, and I didn't enjoy learning to read note by note, and I was trying my best, but I asked my teacher, who was a young guy, if he could teach me some rock and roll or something like that. So he began to teach me how to play bar chords, and he taught me this bass line, which was a standard kind of rock and roll bass line, which was basically
there you go.
Well, kind of a blues kind of bass line.
Musicians would say the 1 to the 4, then to the 5, and back to the 1.
Right. Right. So I began to learn guitar. And then I got in ninth grade, I believe it was not 10th grade, I got into a band, started a rock band with some friends of mine. And we had some girls were having a birthday party and asked us if we would play. And they had a band from a nearby town called Homer City, which a band called the Nomads was going to play at this party. But they asked us if we would play some songs. And so we didn't even have a name. So I painted a bass drum head to look like the Beatles, only it said the Yes Mads on it.
Because instead of Nomads.
I don't think the Nomads thought that was very funny. But we basically had about 4 songs, which we repeated over and over.
Oh, my.
And so that was our first gig. That was the first band. And then we just kept playing. And my job in the band was to learn the songs and teach the parts to the other guys. So I had to learn the chords. So I learned to play basically by ear. I had this little tiny tape recorder, and I would record the songs off an album or whatever, and I would play the song. I'd play like 3 seconds of the song, and then I'd try to find it on my guitar. And then I'd play three more seconds. I can remember spending hours like on the Rolling Stones that can't get no satisfaction. So I'd play, and stop the tape. Find that on my guitar.
That's right. That's it. Okay. Mark, with that, can you imagine what it would have been like to have the tools that we have today in learning to play guitar? I mean, I used I used to take 33 LPs and disengage. I had a turntable that I could disengage the motor, and I would spin the disc with my finger to make it slower so that I could slow down guitar riffs and listen to it. Now kids today can do all of that with perfection. YouTube has it built where you can even slow it down by percentages. It's just nuts.
Oh, wow. That is wild. Yeah.
That's funny that you learned your licks the same way I learned mine back in the day. And music, music was part of you. And you really have a unique, wonderfully unique in the area of Christian music, and people who had just turned in and were hearing you do the little bit of the Stone song are wondering, am I on the right station? Yep, you are. This is The Shepherd. And I've got Mark Altrogi, one of the nation's, I believe, and I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say this, foremost worship songwriters in the country. And your songs, Mark, have been sung by people all over the world. I knew how big you were one time, how big the song I Stand in Awe of You one time. Cindy and I were in Arkansas for a funeral. Went there for a funeral, and we're sitting in the funeral, and the funeral home in this small town in Arkansas is playing some pre-service music done on an organ by who knows who. I have no idea who the artist would have been. But again, this is not during the service itself. This is the pre-service, and there in that small room in Arkansas comes I Stand in Awe of You on the loudspeakers that are played, you know, through this funeral home. And it was so worshipful. It was beautiful. And I'm thinking, I know the guy that wrote that. And would he even know that his song is playing in a funeral parlor in the middle of Arkansas? That's the impact that a songwriter has when they don't even know it. You don't even know where your songs are going, but I'm sure you've gotten letters, emails, maybe even calls from people around the world who are blessed by your songs.
Well, man, that's so kind of you to say those things, Mike. I don't think of myself like that.
But
thank you.
It's true. And in a moment when we come back, we're going to talk about this song, I Stand in Awe of You, in just a moment, because it is one of those unbelievably beautiful, inspired, and anointed songs, and we're going to play it, and you'll get to hear the songwriter's viewpoint from Mark Altrogi, my guest today on Afternoons with Mike. We'll be right back. You're in tune to the Shepherd Radio Network. On the line today is Mark Altrogi. Mark has been a pastor for a number of years, and he recently retired from doing that a couple of years back. You've heard him in segment one say that he was at one point in time a full-time artist, and I'm talking about the painting kind of artist, because that's something you're doing again now, and your paintings are beautiful. We'll hear about that in the next segment, but right now we want to focus on this one aspect in your life, and that was songwriting. And we heard that you were greatly influenced. You know, I think most people our age, Mark, would have been influenced from the Beatles. And, you know, for all the things they didn't do, what they did was awaken a love of music in a generation, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was just, it's interesting. I think about God's sovereignty over all things, but his sovereignty over the world of music and just the timing of that and the timing of the Beatles, where they could be on television and seen by people all over the world and have movies made about them. They definitely influenced a generation at least, and more probably.
You know, there's something about that that really does tie in my mind, directly to songwriting. And it is this, you know, people will say, why did the Beatles make it? Why were they the ones that had such an impact? How did they get so famous? And, you know, obviously then along with that, how did they make so much money? Blah, blah, blah. All of those things come up when you are talking about an originator of something that had not been done before. And I think the answer to all of those questions, they were indeed at the right place at the right time in the right generation, but they had thoughts that were not being done before. They had a musical idea that had not been presented the way it had been presented before. And right. Their talent was also something that had not yet been heard in the way that it was. It was genius. But one of the things that made the Beatles so amazing was their prolific songwriting. I mean, you talk about somebody that cranked out the tunes. That's what they did, and they were good at it, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. And they did crank them out. You know, I've read a little bit of their biographies and things like that, the stories behind the scenes, and they would knock them out just incredibly quickly.
Very quickly, and with imaginative melodies that, again, were so fresh and unique. So now that's the tie-in. That's all that I needed to say about the Beatles to make this point. That's what a songwriter does. You, as a songwriter, had the ability to craft not only the melodies that were memorable, but the words that were meaningful, and you had the ability to put them together. And why one song is better than another song, that's that part that is so subjective. And yet there's an objective part of it as well, in the fact that it was well crafted, it was well put together, and it stands. I think your songs, here's what I think they do. They have stood the test of time. All of these years, 30 plus years later, some of these songs are still so memorable. They're still being sung around the world. And that is the creativity that I think, even in people in the groups in pop music, like what we were talking about with the Beatles, and that's something that I think that you share wonderfully with them. It's this gift of creativity. So when you think back to a song like I Stand in Awe of You, that's been sung by groups around the world, what is the origin? What's the backstory to that song?
At the time, I had been reading, I know I was reading The Holiness of God by R.C. Sproul.
Oh, what a great book.
I also read The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer.
Another great
one.
And
The Attributes of God by Stephen Charnock. All three of those books are just incredible that they talk about how God is infinitely holy, infinitely powerful, infinitely loving and wise. And one of the things that just really struck me at the time is that because he is infinite, there will always be things about him that only he knows, and that throughout eternity, we will never come to an end of like seeing new revelations of his glory and beauty. We will never, ever, you know, come to an end forever. And so it was those kinds of things that I wanted to try to capture in a song if I could.
Wow, you did it. And it is so great. And the song, again, was recorded by people all over the world, as I mentioned. I even heard an instrumental version of it in a small, very small. We're talking about maybe there was 50 people in that funeral that day. And we're sitting there, my wife and I, and we're hearing this song. And wait a minute, is that I Stand In? And it was. And it's played. It was so great. But the arrangement that we're going to play is from that group that I mentioned earlier. It was a Hosanna recording. And this is Mark Altrogi's song, I Stand in Awe of You. Our broadcast license will not allow us to play this on the internet. Please check YouTube for the song, I Stand in Awe by Hosanna. What an amazing song that is. I stand in awe of you. The songwriter is on the line with me, Mark Altruggi. You know, that song was just so gorgeous. And you mentioned to me during the song that another producer, arranger, asked to do something with that song, but he wanted you to write another verse. Tell us that story.
Well, a few years after I wrote the original song, a man named David Clydesdale contacted me and said he was writing a choral arrangement of it for an Easter production, and he wanted to know if I could possibly write a second verse. So I did. I wrote a second verse that talked about, though Jesus obviously is beautiful beyond description, God crushed him for our sins. And then the verse goes on to talk about that. So I wrote a second verse, which I was grateful that he would use.
Wow. And Mark, I have to ask this question. At what point, or what was it like, or what happened that made you think in the very beginning of writing songs that turned out, I'm sure your first song would not have brought about the kind of attention and praise that this song did. But where in this process did the idea of writing a song really become a workable reality for you?
Well, I think because I did try to write songs, or I did write songs even as a even before I was saved. I wrote songs for my 10th grade rock band because I was trying to copy the Beatles. They were songwriters. I wanted to be a songwriter. So then after the Lord saved me, I can just remember one thought I had was we sang a lot of songs that were just like a very simple, just one chorus kind of thing, which I did write some of my early worship songs were just like one verse or one chorus, which was repeated. But I can remember we sang, there were a lot of songs that were very joyful, cheerful songs, but they were pretty simple. And I can just remember thinking, well, I'd like to maybe try to write a song that would be a little more than just a simple chorus repeated. So I remember the first worship song I ever wrote, it was called At the Mention of Your Name. And it had, I think, a verse and a chorus. Okay. And so I just remember thinking, you know, I think I can maybe write something, some songs that might be a little bit different, and kind of force them upon my own church.
Force them. You know, I think back to that time frame, and you had mentioned this earlier in segment one about even like groups like the Full Gospel Businessmen. And songs that were going on back in the day, they were simpler, easier to follow songs, sometimes so simple that they did not even have much more than a single thought in some of these choruses in them. And you come along and you're one of the writers in my mind in that day that started taking just exactly what you were describing in the song, I Stand in Awe of You, a theological side that would be a lot deeper than a simple thought. And I love the fact that that era brought on some very memorable songs, but a lot of them, again, were not very deep theologically. And they would not give, I think those songs haven't stood as well the test of time is what your songs have stood.
It's interesting that you mentioned some of those very simple songs, because I can remember that first meeting I told you about that I went to where Larry Tomczak was speaking. They were singing a lot of these really simple songs. And my background at that point, I had gone to concerts. I had seen Yes. I had seen Genesis. I had seen these groups that were so complex, you know, prog rock groups and groups with incredible complicated songs. And so when I go into this first meeting, we're singing, "This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made." And I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this.
It was a little too simple for your complexion that's going on in your mind right there.
Now, look, those songs are great songs in their own way, and there was certainly a joy and a celebrative fun aspect to them, which I think was really good for me. But at the time, my taste was more complex music. So I can remember when I first started to write songs, I did want to try to do something a little more detailed, maybe, or a little more complex than not super complex. I wanted them to be simple enough for people to sing if possible, but not quite as simple as some of those early ones.
Well, just to bring clarity, even the song that you sang, as simple as it was a very meaningful song to, I think, most of us back in the day. And it was certainly to me, too. And I'm just grateful that I think what those songs did, even the simplest of those songs, is that they brought this whole thing of worship music. And as opposed to standing and doing just rote singing the way I had grown up to think the song service was all about, it really did that thing of what that prayer did for you when you heard that guy praying in that prayer meeting, that very personal, that very intimate prayer to the Lord as if he knew the Lord personally, which is exactly the way the Lord wants us to know him personally. Yeah. Those songs did that, and they brought such joy with them. I am so grateful.
Oh, yeah.
I know you feel the same way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even the truth of that song, that this is the day that the Lord has made, I never thought about that growing up.
Right.
I never knew that. And, you know, and then I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, that was a serious, significant truth for me, that I needed to praise God and rejoice every day. So even though those songs were simple, they did have some powerful truth in them.
They did. And I'm grateful. You know, a quick story. I was interviewing a guy up in Gainesville, and one of the songs that affected me that way, I first heard this, I learned it through a guy that I'd met, become friends with, named Tim Archer. And he and his brother and his sister had this Christian, contemporary Christian band called the Archers back in the day. And they traveled with Andre Crouch. And they came to our city, and I befriended Tim. And Tim is, we're Facebook friends to this day. And he is such a great talent and a great, just a great guy. And when they were at our church, they sang this song called I Love You With the Love of the Lord. You've probably heard that song. I can see in you the glory of the King, I think it is, and I love you with the Lord, love of the Lord. And I took that, and one time I was invited to my father-in-law, turned out to be my father-in-law's church, Cindy's dad, and I sang that song at a camp meeting, you know, leading worship, and they loved that song so much, and that became their staple every Sunday song that they would do during the beginning of the service, where they would all greet each other and shake hands, and they loved each other with the love of the Lord. So I'm telling that story in an interview with Jim Gilbert, who is a worship leader. He was a Hosanna worship leader, and he lives in Gainesville, attends the Rock Church. And he goes, I wrote that song.
Oh, wow.
I said, what? You wrote? I had no idea who the songwriter was. But again, that illustrates why we're doing this show today. Jim had no idea the impact that he had through that church in Henderson, Kentucky. And to this day, that is still a beloved song in that church.
Wow.
And it's just wonderful to realize.
Great.
It's a great story, and it's so true. I learned it from Tim Archer, and then I taught it to that church, and then I finally get to meet knew Jim for years before I even knew that he had been the songwriter of that song. Mark Altrogi is my guest today. We're going to be back with Mark one more segment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. Back on the line again with Mark Altruggi. Oh, the time has gone by way, way too quickly, and we've got yet another song that I want to draw attention to. You know, one of the sung artists, the singers, and I think he's also a songwriter, is Kent Henry. And Kent Henry was a guy that I believe the Lord used mightily back in the day in the beginnings of the Hosanna movement. He was one of the artists. He has a great singing voice. And his passion for worship was one of the things that really inspired a lot of people. But he loved your songs. And he did a couple of them. And one of them is this song, I'm Forever Grateful. Now, tell us quickly, if you will, Mark, the backstory to that song.
I know, I was just thinking about how God came for me, didn't wait for me to come to him.
When a thought like that comes to you, do you just quickly write it down? Do you like keep a book or of thoughts like that?
I do have notebooks with different ideas in them, and usually nowadays I'll just on my phone, you know, I'll just record a little voicemail to myself or something like that. Just a melody idea or lyrical idea. If it's a lyrical idea, I'll just record it into Notes app. And if it's music, I have a little recording app that I'll just sing it into, melody. So I can remember just different times recently when I'd be like out taking a walk or something, or I'd be hear some music somewhere and I think, oh, that's a great melody. I've got to sort of steal that and change it.
Well, you know, again, this song, why I think it is so meaningful to so many of us, again, is the thought, the imagery. You know, it's interesting that you're a painter as well. And the next show that I have you back on, we'll have to talk about painting and your involvement in doing that now, because you actually paint things that people can buy and add to their home. It's beautiful, the stuff that you've done.
Thanks.
But this song has a painted image in the lyrics that I believe you build through the verse. You did not wait for me to draw near to you. But then you bring in this imagery that you clothed yourself with frail humanity. That kind of imagery, that kind of expression is so wonderfully done, Mark, and it is so beautiful. Oh. So I want to jump into that right now. This is Mark Altruggi's song, I'm Forever Grateful. Our broadcast license will not allow us to play this on the internet. Please check YouTube for the song, I'm Forever Grateful by Kent Henry. That is Mark Altruggi's song, sung by Kent Henry, I'm Forever Grateful. And that is just one of those songs where I think people who know you, Mark, and people who were in the movement of churches, Sovereign Grace Ministries, before that it was called People of Destiny, those many years that you were writing these songs and you racked up, do you have any idea how many songs you've actually had published?
Oh, I'm not sure. I think maybe 300 or 400.
Wow. I know it's a lot. I know you cranked them out. Yeah. Oh, are there any particular artists that you remember that really blessed you with encouragement by calling you up and saying, hey, that song is just great, can I record it?
No, I don't think anybody ever called me up and asked me that.
Oh, man, they should have, because they are the benefactors of great, great songs, and you were cranking them out in that day. How many years do you think you've spent doing this now?
Writing worship songs?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. The first one would have been probably, I think, around 1978. When I wrote that song I mentioned to you at the mention of your name.
Okay.
I wrote it, might have been 79, 78, but I wrote that for, I think, I was a worship leader at a Bible study that eventually became our church.
Yeah. Oh.
But at the time, it was a Bible study, and I was the worship leader. along with some other people, we led worship.
Well, I tell you what, Mark, your impact has been great, and we're going to have you back on the show again to talk about not only the fact that you're a painter and that you're doing that now, but you spent a number of years as a pastor of a church up in Indiana, Pennsylvania, where you are right now, and you have some of the greatest stories. I think back, you're one of the funniest conference speakers, and even I think you also have one other title that we haven't even talked about privately yet, and that is the gift of announcements. That's what you do. You have this you have this ability at conferences to be an MC, but not just an MC. You just crack everybody up because you have such a wonderful sense of humor, and it comes through in all of that. And I know that you've done a lot of that through the years.
Well, Bob Coughlin used to always ask me if I would do announcements at worship conferences that he was leading. And I always tried to find some way to make the announcements funny if I could. I can remember, though, there were times where we were singing worship songs and the announcements were going to be in just a few minutes, and I didn't know what I was going to talk about. And I'd be praying, Lord, please help me say something funny, please. Because I just felt like, you know, the whole conference was very wonderful, but it was very serious. And I just thought if I could, I'd like to bring a little bit of a change of pace.
Right. A little bit of levity. It always helps a whole lot, doesn't it? You know, but the truth of it is, Mark, you're one of those kind of people. This is my memory of you. And just to encourage you, even if you would have probably been up there thinking that it wasn't happening, you have that gift of timing that is so important. And people were just laughing, just waiting for you to say something, whether it was just some of the most awesome times. And I love it. And people that weren't there, they'll never know just how much fun all of that was for the rest of us. But boy, do I appreciate you, and I'm grateful for you. Oh, and man, I've got to have you back on again to talk about things, because your songs touch people's hearts, and they still do. And all of this came up as I've got 1 minute left, but just, you've written a song years ago called You Sat Down, and you've just recently added a couple of songs and a bridge. So in my mind, you've brought that song back to life again, and maybe some worship leaders will want to check that out. Give us your website where people can find you and find your songs.
Well, I think it would be just Mark Altrogi on YouTube.
Okay.
I believe that would be it.
And that's spelled Altrogge.
Right.
That's awesome. Mark Altrogi, my guest today, buddy, thank you so much for being here. And we'll have you back on maybe in January, and we'll hear some more stories and maybe play a few more of your songs.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me. Really been fun. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, buddy. And friends, thank you. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd on Afternoons with Mike.